Okay, I'm calling the meeting to order again. I neglected to tell the general managers who are going to make the presentation that we changed the agenda. Sean is on his way here. I expect to be able to have their report at 11:15. In the interim, what I'd like to do is to approve the minutes that we didn't do this morning, which is from a week ago, from the last meeting, sorry, it's more than a week ago. You should all have a copy of those minutes in front of you now. Okay. If you'll take a minute or two and look through them, we'll... Okay. If you'll take a minute or two and look through them, we'll say 2 minutes. We'll move to approve the minutes. Yes.
The minutes include matters that were voted upon in executive session.
Oh, yeah, that's got to get pulled.
Is this meant for public distribution?
No.
Well, it should only be being distributed to the PMB members.
You know, George, you have the confidentiality agreements. I put a stack of them there.
Yes.
Should circulate them and have them signed.
Oh, that's right. It's a new
right
board.
Now.
Everybody needs to sign this.
Right. Wait, does the public
so I will circulate this Pacifica Foundation confidentiality agreement. Please take a moment to read it and sign it and get it back to me, I guess, before lunch.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Could you just confirm that these have only been distributed to PMB members and that PMB members understand that they are confidential?
Well, I assume the PMB members understand it, and I believe that Donna distributed them only on this table. Is that correct, Donna?
That's correct.
Send some of those that way, too.
You know, if I could just, it might be good to separate
the approval
minutes of open meetings from minutes of confidential meetings, because members of the public are entitled to the open meeting minutes, and the confidential meeting minutes should be kept tightly confidential.
Yeah, so for in the future, we'll just circulate the confidential minutes at the executive committee meetings. And since we can't discuss... We can't discuss the meeting, the confidential minutes in this meeting. We'll only approve the public part of it. Let me ask, is this a standard agreement we've been using every year, or what is this?
Yes.
It is. Okay.
George?
Yes?
So are we talking about the minutes now?
Let me do the minutes first, and then we'll talk about the confidentiality agreement if we need to.
I have a correction.
Yeah, Wendy and then Sherry.
On Section 3, where it says Election Committee Report and Motion... And at the bottom, the motion was a motion from Nia Bediako to use the same mailing house that was used to mail the ballots for the 2008 election. The motion failed by 10 against, 4 in favor, 3 abstention. And then it lists them. It's just switched. It says opposed. It names 4 people opposed. It should just say in favor, 4 people. And,
sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll fix that. Thank you.
They are beautiful minutes, though.
Just wrong.
It's awesome. No, they're great.
Sherry?
Margaret Prescott's name is spelled incorrectly, and it needs to be corrected. Donna, Margaret Prescott's name is spelled incorrectly, so it's a T. T, and not it's
it ends
not
in a
cod.
D.
It's funny.
It ends in a D.
Yeah, it's a cod. Yeah.
So it's been misspelled the entire year?
I guess so.
I just have a question. I thought that our procedure on minutes was actions taken and a record of them without comments and what each person had to say. Because I think that when you do minutes this way... No, they're here.
No, these
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was on to the wrong set of minutes. I was looking at the executive minutes.
It is true in any case, what you're saying.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that when we get to the other minutes.
Any other corrections to the minutes?
I move to accept.
Any objection to accepting the minutes as corrected? Okay. Hearing none, the minutes are accepted as corrected.
I have another thing.
Okay.
So, yay, we've got some approved minutes. How is there a process now? Does Donna have authorization to get them posted on the Pacifica website?
I don't know. Donna, do you?
I have not been told that.
Okay.
Could you do it if we asked you to?
I guess I could.
All you do is you email it to somebody who puts it on. Yeah.
Okay, fine.
And who's the somebody?
John L. Otis or John?
Well, yeah, you're gonna.
We'll hook you up.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
And I will make a separate document.
Yes. AC?
Obviously, executive session wouldn't be posted on the website.
The latter part of those minutes where it was moved to accept to accept David Beacon and Ife. I do have a problem with that, and I'd like to move it to where we are in the executive session to address, rather than address it openly.
Well, we've already approved the minutes, but certainly if there's a problem about...
I was trying to get to you this before you approve the minutes to say that's part there.
And what you want to do is to defer acceptance of the minutes till we're in executive session?
At least this part of the minutes.
I think it was done in open session. I think we'd be in violation of our own bylaws if we did that.
Information disclosed.
Well, I don't think so, because this is a personnel question here.
Well, it's a question of what was the motion that actually passed the board.
What I'm arguing is the motion was illegally done. And I don't want to go any further than that.
Well, that may be the case, but the question before us is whether the motion actually passed the board.
Well.
So that's what's being accepted. The question of was this an illegal motion can be raised in executive session in any case.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to do.
Okay. What next? The confidentiality agreement. Does anyone have a problem with it? Is there anything we need to discuss about it?
Yeah. Did we get one?
We didn't get one.
Where is it? They're right there.
There's a pile of them coming around, so I thought they were being circulated. Sorry.
I do.
Okay, so I saw Sean and then Carolyn. Carolyn, go ahead.
I'm a little confused about several things. It says this does not preclude local station board members from sharing confidential information provided to the LSB with other LSB members, whether or not those LSB members are present at any given executive session. Similarly, then it says that P&B members shall not share any information from P&B executive sessions with their LSBs without explicit PMB approval. And I just have a problem about what kind of approval and who. When is a PNB member an LSB member? And I just find those two a little bit conflicting. Am I not reading that properly? Someone explain that to me.
Does anyone want to respond to that? Wendy?
We've been over and over this a bunch of times. I only passed them out to the new people because we didn't have enough for everyone. That's good, right? Last year's confidentiality agreement is...
Oh.
We got
okay,
lots of them.
Well, we need to find the rest of them then because everybody didn't get one. But what it means, it just means the basic. It's not necessary to have this thing. You're already bound by the confidentiality. You can't go back to your LSB and tell them anything. So, therefore, please just sign it.
No, please don't sign it until we get this clarified.
I'm sorry.
It's an important point.
I'm sorry.
I object to that.
Let's hear what people have to say. Sean, and then Luzette.
It appears to me one of the big contradictions here is in conditions 1 through 4, it says certain limited financial, certain limited information, you know, regarding employees and all that. And I'm glad it's limited because I'd like to keep as much as possible in the public. But then we have condition 5, which says just information disclosed during a closed session may not be talked about. So 5 vitiates all the limiting. 5 wipes us out. We can't talk about any, under condition 5, we can't talk about anything. Forget limited. We can't talk about anything. So that's a big conflict right there, folks. We're either going to limit executive session to specific things, or we're just going to cut everybody, the public, right out of the public session by saying information disclosed during a closed session can't talk about it. It's a very big conflict, and it undermines public understanding and participation in this process.
Dan, please respond.
Chair, I heard a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Lizette was next, and then Dan.
I heard a question asked as to what Sean is saying, but let me tell you something. This thing needs to be revised, and I'll tell you why. Yesterday, we were told that information from executive sessions should be in our minutes. Take people's names out, and we talk about the decisions, number one. Number two, if the matter does not relate to acquisitions or personnel, then it is not a matter for executive sessions. And this is what I was talking about yesterday. I call this the gag rule. And considering the performance we had, lambasting this board, then I'm not sure that this is very relevant. So we need to look at it again, get an independent advice on what this means, before I sign it. I don't just go putting my signature to things like this that I do not understand. I want to go back to my board and tell them what is happening here, and I don't want to be restricted overly. Thank you.
Dan?
Okay. I should say that this particular issue in this particular form has been discussed at great length and adopted by the PMB over the last couple of years, and there may be some questions about its applicability, which let me just say very briefly. The point of the form is twofold. One is that the body as a whole, rather than individual members, must decide what executive session information and decisions are to be disclosed. It's not appropriate for individuals to make that decision. Secondly, what the form should do is reinforce, and this I think is Lizette's concern, that the board not discuss in executive session things that should not be discussed in executive session. So board members, and particularly the chair, should engage in self-policing so that if something comes up in executive session, which should be a matter of public discussion, the board should refuse to discuss it in executive session. Once the board decides what should properly be discussed in executive session, it should do so and then decide as a group rather than as individuals what should be disclosed. And that was the thinking that led to the adoption of this form.
Jamie?
Yes, thanks. When I first was confronted with this form last year, I had the same question as Sean. Point 5, information disclosed during closed session of any Pacifica Foundation Board or Committee does seem to be too broad. When I first got on the PNB and we had a closed session of NFC, something was disclosed like, well, we had a fund drive last week at KPF whatever and it made $300,000. And I felt I had to ask, well, can I report this? Because by the wording here on the document, that was confidential information and could not be reported. So, you know, it could clarify things. I mean, I certainly think that we have a duty to keep confidentiality on things that the publication of which could expose the foundation. But, you know, perhaps point 5 would be a little more clear if it was like other information disclosed during closed session deemed confidential. Perhaps there's other information that should be confidential that doesn't fall into there. But it not just the way it reads now, it says any information, which clearly it does not make sense. So this is a little problematic. I do have to say, though, two other comments about confidentiality. In my opinion, the board has been pretty good about not talking about non-confidential issues in closed sessions, so I think we've done a good job about that. One thing we've been a little weak at is reporting out stuff in confidential sessions that should be reported to the public. Thanks.
George, you have several.
Yeah. Sean was...
Sean's already spoken.
You are. Okay. I wasn't paying attention to the stack. Right. Who's first? Okay. Leslie, Susan, Grace. Rico.
I share many of the concerns here, at the same time understanding the need for confidentiality. And this actually derives, I believe, from the bylaws where we have this awful clause about meetings dedicated to or predominantly regarding personnel proprietary information litigation and other matters requiring confidential advice. And the fact that we have that clause in there that allows for closed meetings for predominantly confidential matters leads, I think, inevitably to non-confidential matters being slipped in there. I would suggest as board policy that every closed session be scheduled immediately followed by an open session on the same issues. If there is nothing that we can bring out of the closed session and discuss in open session, that's fine. But we will always have the option then of saying, no, we're going to be discussing this in open session in just a few minutes. And that way, I'm looking at these financial matters, for instance, in closed session. I'm not explaining myself well here. But if we allowed 15 minutes after every closed session, then I wouldn't feel forced to bring up financial matters that are non-confidential in a confidential session. Does that make sense? Am I being clear here? Now, as a matter of policy, I think we can do that. If there's nothing there, then there's nothing there. But if there's something there, then we can immediately bring it up in a following open session. That would be my suggestion.
Susan, Grace, and Bonnie.
I think what Leslie has brought up actually helps address one of my concerns, because certain limited financial information regarding Pacifica Foundation, I don't know what that is, maybe salaries. And I think that in keeping with Dan's framing of this issue, that it is the body that needs to decide rather than individuals going off on their own. We've had a real problem with this at T, in which I know a confidential discussion about personnel that I had was provided to the individual who was, under consideration. But at any rate, I think the idea of the body deciding what in the executive session is available and appropriate to report out, helps address this and maintain maximum transparency.
Susan, then Grace, Sean, and then Jim. Rico, did you want to be on? I'm sorry. So Rico, then Grace, Rico, then Jim.
I'd like to suggest that we try to reach a compromise here, because we could spend 2 or 3 hours on this one issue, which really belongs back in the governance committee. There seems to be a strong opposition to the confidentiality agreement. I don't think we should try to hash that out. Possibly if we can have people sign it with the caveat that their acceptance of it is only temporary till the end of this meeting, or turn the paper around and say, I promise to uphold the confidentiality of sensitive information I receive in executive sessions of the PNB, and sign your name, one or the other, whichever is best. But I think we need to resolve this temporarily and move on with the agenda.
Rico, you want to make a motion, Grace, or what?
Well, as a straw poll, which one of those two suggestions is most amenable to the body? Either signing it temporarily if you have an objection to it, or signing your willingness to keep, you know, your own statement and signing it, which... and the option is striking through things you don't agree with?
Number five.
Is that acceptable to most?
We have a large stack now to deal with this, and we have other business. Is Sean here? Not yet. Okay, so we have some time to do it.
Can I find out?
Let me first find out. Would people like to try to resolve this now, or would people like to defer this somehow? So if you'd like to defer it somehow, please put your hand up, and we'll go from there. If you'd like to address it right now, please put your hand up.
I have a suggestion.
All right. Yes, thank you. What's your suggestion, Nia?
Yeah, I have a suggestion that Lucette seems to have taken copious notes. Lucette, you're a lawyer, right? Would you like to just... Okay. Oh, no. That's fine. About the what should be kept in confidence. In
that's
confidence?
I struck all
no,
of
no,
it
no,
out.
That's what I'm saying. Yesterday, you were quoting Casey yesterday. So would you
pardon?
Be...
The board trainer. Okay. Right, yes. I'm with you now. Yes.
So would you be willing to come up with some language, just like plain language, and then come back to us with it, just so that we can move on? Because rather than spending all this time, based on the finances, we only have 1 hour, and people are complaining about the finances of the network. That's 1 hour, and we're spending all this time on this one document. We know what we're supposed to say and not supposed to say, let's just move on.
Here's what we're going to do. Here's my suggestion anyway. For those of you who are comfortable with signing it, please sign it and hand it in. For those of you who are not and want to keep speaking to it, please limit your speaking to 1 minute, and we'll take what you have to say about it.
Yeah, mine will take less than that.
Okay. So the stack is after Rico, Jim, Bonnie, Sean, Carolyn.
But before, can I just ask, where are the rest of the copies of this thing? If we could at least everybody get one so we know what we're talking about. Hey.
Here, thank you.
My pleasure.
Yeah, I
would say this if I may.
Yes.
One thing Dan Siegel said that I thought was very important is that we have to limit the closed sessions. Period. First of all, that's the one thing we have to do is make sure that when we're talking about something that it needs to be in closed session, so that we don't have all these different sessions where we have to think what is. What we can spread out and what we can't. I was suggesting that we just add the certain limited to item 5 as well. That we add the certain limited as we did in the first four, that we add that to item 5 as well on this page.
I second.
I'm sorry.
Last year, so okay. I don't know what it says.
Here, I got yours right here.
Because that wouldn't lock us into anything. It would still, as everyone has said, that there are certain things that we can disclose and there are certain things that we can't. The item 5, I think that Mr. O'Brien is having a problem with is that it's just
overly broad.
Yeah.
Jim.
I second
that. That was a suggestion which I take it anyone can do.
Yeah, I understand and I honor that. But what I think we need to do is we need to look at this document seriously. I would refer it to another committee like the Governance Committee to look at it and really draft something out that we all can be comfortable with. Because it has a times have changed, things have changed, and there's certain ways in which people have a tendency to interpret or misinterpret things and go about willy-nilly and create more confusion. I would say that I agree that we should take all the comments from today and then have someone to redraft this document for us real quickly or as soon as possible, and then we can sign it. And then we have everyone sign it, not just the new people, but everyone.
Bonnie.
Well,
I think it's a little problematic because we are going to be entering into executive sessions in this meeting. I, for one, am not comfortable unless everyone has actually signed on to a confidentiality agreement. I'm also a little bit concerned in that a confidentiality agreement is not just your contract with this contract affects all of us. So you can't exactly. have one person writing one line one way and another person writing another line another way, because my right to my expectation of confidentiality has to be the same that everyone else has signed. I'm sorry if I'm not being articulate. I am far from a lawyer. So I think that we have to, I don't really have the suggestion, but I think that I believe in any case that the language that everyone signs needs to be the same without any changes. And if we ended up going in the direction that was spoken about earlier, I just was a little bit concerned about the idea of every executive session having a 15-minute public session after it, because doesn't that really impact John or whoever is having to sit wherever he's sitting? You can't expect him to wait 3 hours, 4 hours, 2.5 hours and be ready, you know, late in the evening to suddenly pop us online so we can have a 15-minute public session. That's just not very practical.
Wait until you do one. They're exhausting. You just die afterwards.
Sean?
Yeah, besides my concern over number five, I specifically want to speak to number one and number three. Because, and I, by the way, I had a long talk with the former Assistant Secretary of State in charge of policy about this and an attorney. And, you know, I understand that when it comes to actual litigation, somebody's filed a lawsuit, we should handle those confidential. But to put in there just potential because somebody threatens a suit, again, is limiting. And with number three, regarding the sale or purchase of Pacifica property, we just recently went through a big blow-up over the loan that they wanted to bring about using KPFK as collateral. And I think part of the problem there was the way it was handled with so much excessive secrecy. And I want to tell you, if you don't think that you can talk about the sale of property, I invite you to go sit in at an LA Unified School District meeting where they discuss the sale of properties continually and constantly. And remember, and this is why this is important, we take the public's money. The public has an absolute right to know how we spend that money, and any purchases we should do should be in public session. Thank you.
Carolyn.
I see one problem that Bonnie raises, and that is that we have an executive session coming up. So I would, and we also have a legal briefing, I assume, but I would assume that we could take any information we need in writing to the board as a confidential matter and not have an executive session. Conversely, some of the issues in executive session might be public and do not have to be executive. Or we could sign this provisionally, which I would recommend, until expire Sunday at, 6 p.m., and put that note on it, and that might be sufficient to enable us to proceed with confidentiality. Conversely, this is all almost superfluous because we are bound by the bylaws, which have a confidentiality agreement. And it's as simple as that. Thank you.
Okay, Sandra, Wendy, then Dan. Okay. Wendy.
When I set up the board training for yesterday, one of the things I wanted to kind of emphasize is what's the difference between being an LSB member and being a PNB member, and there is a difference. You still, of course, you're still bound on confidentiality at the LSB level, but once you get to the PNB level, we're the governing board of a multi-million dollar organization. There's actually laws that says we can't go talking about stuff. I mean, we could be prosecuted for, you know, saying things that we shouldn't be saying. So I really, you know, this is an unbudgeted discussion here in time. We need to stop this right now. But we cannot go revealing stuff from executive session. It's as simple as that. So therefore, there's no difference if you sign the paper or don't. But this organization has a problem with, you know, we want to be really inclusive. And so it just... I don't know. I was going good there, and now I'm falling apart here. But, you know, come on, get a grip, folks. This is not a game.
Dan, absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Let me be brief. This is really deja vu of a discussion that people with the same concerns had a year ago. And if you read the form carefully, before it lists 1 to 5, it says properly deemed confidential information is information that is disclosed in confidence and deemed confidential by the board or a local station board and may include but is not limited. And then the 5 provisos doesn't say all information. It says certain limited information. So if someone is talking about a lawsuit and the board is discussing in confidence what might be the pros and cons of that lawsuit and how it will respond to it and whether it should settle or do something else, that's confidential information. If you're having a real estate sale and you're talking about offers and the Pacifica's bargaining strategy, well, they've offered X, we'll take Y, but let's tell them for purposes of discussions, it's X plus 10, right? That's confidential simply because as in public entities, you need to keep your bargaining information confidential. It doesn't mean that you can keep confidential something like a decision. We're going to sell WBAI. That's not confidential. That would be out under the first paragraph. But when you start talking about offers and acceptance and bargaining strategy, that is confidential. That's part of the Brown Act if you happen to be a public entity in California, and that's why it was drafted this way.
I'd like to close this yes. discussion. If need be, we can continue it in an executive session. That is to say, if there are people who are not comfortable about other people's commitment to confidentiality, we can discuss that at the time. Those of us who've already signed this don't need to sign it again in any case. The new members, if you have a problem with it, it can be raised then. I can't think of a better resolution. If anybody else can, please tell me.
George, it has to be signed each year with each incarnation.
It does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, your term ended, so your obligation under that ended. That's why I made 24.
So
AC signed his.
I signed mine.
I signed mine.
All right, social pressure. I signed mine. Okay, we have Sean and Lemlem in the house, ready, I believe, to give the general manager's presentation. Would someone find them and tell them that we're ready? Yeah. And in the meantime, please, everyone who is going to sign this, please give it to me. If you want to amend it when you sign it, that's fine. So at least we'll know where we're at when we get into executive session. Send them up here.
I'm going to give it to the secretary.
Well, I haven't got them all yet. Wait a bit on that. So I instructed people to give them to me, and then we'll hand them to the secretary. And someone check the back rooms or... Well, while we're doing this, let me just get a sense of what the board wants to do. We are now, it's now 11:30. We have budgeted for this time, we have budgeted a lunch break at 1. We had budgeted a half an hour of public comment after the general managers, which leaves them with an hour if we begin promptly. What's your pleasure on this? Any suggestions? How would you like to manipulate this budget, this time budget?
I think we should have the GMs present their report immediately, and then if they need extra time, we can vote to extend time.
Immediately for an hour?
For an hour, yes.
Point of information.
Time is needed.
Yes.
Were we ever sent a copy of the GM's report, or are we going to get it today for the first time?
As far as I know, we were never sent a copy.
Thank you.
Did anyone ever receive a copy of the GM's report? No one did. Lemlem is certainly here, and I'm told that Sean was here, and they were conferring about the presentation and somehow have disappeared. Is there any objection? Is there any objections to Grace's suggestion, which is we give the GMs an hour? If they need more time, we'll have to take it out of the first part of the session for of public comment, which was specifically put in there so they could comment about the general manager's meeting. Is there? Well, hearing no objection, that's what I'll do. I appreciate the sentiment, but I have to go by what the PMBM members are talking about and are instructing me.
I'm not going to formally object, George, but I am uncomfortable since none of the issues that the listeners would be interested in have come to the floor yet, and I'd to have them comment on hypotheticals.
No, that would be after the GM's report, is the thought.
Ah, I'm sorry. I'm not watching the bouncing ball.
I'm assuming that they're here. Good.
Okay, thank you.
Good, okay. Excellent. Because Sherry didn't do what she said she would do.
Well, it's also an attempt to keep this from examining it. Yeah, from examining it.
Critical. Feel free in the discussion to make the point.
Well, I'd like to post on the whole damn thing until we respond to something.
Oh, God, I don't like that. But you can make the motion.
I'm glad to hear he's okay.
It's a change in the agenda, and it required 2/3. Okay. Sean and Lemlem, thanks for being here to present this with us. Because of time slippage, we're going to give you an hour. We had wanted to give the listeners a half an hour to be able to comment specifically about your presentation. They asked for that. Please, if you respect the work that this board is doing, please allow us to do it. Then please let us do our work in silence then, please. If you want to interrupt the flow of this meeting, you're doing it. We just had a decision of this board. I'm sorry, but you are in the way of us doing what we need to do, and I would appreciate it if you would stop. We just had a decision of this board to do what I am saying to do. And I frankly do not appreciate those kinds of comments from the audience. We're glad to hear what you have to say, and we have scheduled a half an hour for you to say it.
Please don't yell into the microphones. Please.
Excuse me for my passion about that. Who's going to begin?
I will. I'm Brian DeShazer, director of the Pacifica Radio Archives, and along with my colleagues Sean Heitkemper and Lemlem Regio, we're here to present the Pacifica Foundation three-year strategic plan based on meetings that were put together by the acting executive director, Sherry Gendelman, which brought the five general managers and myself together for more discussions about the work that the managers and the stations and the archives do, notwithstanding other elements of the foundation that this strategic plan can be expanded onto. But, you know, I was asked to sort of start because what the discussions, what I brought to the discussions and what I feel I contributed to this group is the idea of the legacy, of where we come from, what we mean, and the relevance of Pacifica. You know, as the discussions happened, you know, I was the one that sort of inserted the idea that unless we're relevant as we were during the 60s, unless we're as relevant as we were in the 50s with HUAC, in the civil rights movement in the 60s, and in the 70s with the gay rights movement, unless we're relevant today, it won't matter. So as we start, as we prepare to celebrate 60 years of public and independent broadcasting, Pacifica is hailed in the United States and world history as an innovation, a special place of world in the world of media. The survival of Pacifica is the result of the tremendous dedication of a community of supporters who have historically valued the Pacifica mission and its unique critical programming. The evolving media and economic landscapes today call for attention and forward planning as we adjust to the technological changes and economic fluctuations while maximizing our impact, our relevance in this society. This three-year strategic plan has been developed to address the most pressing issues of concern at Pacifica, to our sustainability, and again to our relevance from today through 2011. The general managers convened to address these three critical challenges that we're facing: financial sustainability and donor development, listenership and loyalty, and program development. We realized that the mission had to be revitalized. Again, the relevance of the mission in 2006. We're in 2008 now. Oops. You know what? I actually have been signing my checks 2008. Oh, well. Woohoo. You know that the mission in 1949 did have to evolve. It did evolve from the original mission statement to where we are today. So our top-line goal must always be to serve that mission. We believe that the many aspects of the mission can be summed up as follows. Peace and justice can be achieved through broadcasting. To serve this mission, we know that we must attract and retain listeners. We also understand that our ability to grow operations and our ability to produce quality programming are each dependent upon financial stability. Therefore, the operation goals and support of mission must be to increase our audience, easy said than done, increase our revenue, easier said than done, and decrease our expenses, which is a hardship and a difficulty as we're trying to do the other two. So that, with that being said, if you just sort of think about, again, the legacy, think about the archives, think about the place that Pacifica has in U.S. history and world history, that's what I want you to have in your mind as you listen to my colleagues Sean and Lemlem as they discuss about their work as general managers in the radio paradigm.
Thank you. The way this document has been designed, the development portion actually comes before the second section, which is to address increasing listenership and listener loyalty. So actually we're going to skip to page 5 in this document, and we're going to start with increasing listenership and listener loyalty, just because, I mean, last night we talked a little bit about this. This should come first. Fundraising is ultimately the second step. I think we put it first in the document because it's, you know, our financial situation is critical, and we can't do a lot of these things that we want to do for programming and for the purpose of increasing listenership and listener loyalty unless we stabilize ourselves financially and start to increase revenue. So that's why it was originally designed this way. But again, as we consider what we're going to do in the future, increasing listenership and increasing listener loyalty is the first step, ultimately. This document is, in many ways, a roadmap for the general managers and for the director of the archives and for our staff, is the way we look at it. We're looking forward to, you ultimately listening to this, having a chance to look at it, and hopefully endorsing this. These ideas are, in my opinion, and I believe the rest of the general managers and Brian, I believe we all have a consensus that these are basic radio and public radio practices, and that we've just outlined them, we've put them in this document, we've given examples of how they're used, and then ultimately, again, this should be a framework or a outline for how we should do business, Pacifica's business, on a regular basis. All right, so increasing listenership. I think we all agree that that's important. Without increasing listenership, it would be difficult to increase revenue. It's also our purpose. It's part of what we're here for. We want to reach as many people as possible so we can actualize our mission. Excuse me. Increasing listenership is part and parcel to increasing funding and relevance, as Brian has referred to. Radio listenership, as I think we all can imagine, is dependent on the use of the automobile in most areas. The highest time for PUR, or people using radio, is during commuting hours and hours preparing for work and school. The lowest time for people using radio is when people are normally at home or work. Basic. We know this from focus groups. We know this from surveys, etc. And understanding this and other elements to listener behavior is important to the process of increasing listenership and listener loyalty. How can Pacifica increase listenership and listener loyalty? The network must address three core areas: programming and its content, program or content delivery, in other words, how programming is delivered to our listeners, how they get our programs, and ultimately outreach, letting people know we exist, letting people know what we have to offer. Pacifica has worked hard over the decades to secure some of the most desirable signal areas in the United States. Today, almost the entire state of California is covered by KPFA and KPFK, while some of the most important cultural and political centers in the world, like New York City, Washington, D.C., and Houston, Texas, are covered by WBAI, WPFW, and KPFT. Now, while these terrestrial signal areas are valuable and impressive, a different way of delivering audio and video is quickly threatening the relevance of analog and digital radio. Internet-based distribution or online streaming is already available to handheld multi-platform devices. 3G network, iPhones, Google phone is what we're talking about. You can stream there now. Manufacturers are on the cusp of having these devices ready for the car as well. Pacifica must prepare to compete in this new world. We must be prepared if we want to remain relevant and ultimately actualize our mission. Not only will being prepared to compete in this new digital age protect the network, but it will breathe new life into Pacifica by giving it the opportunity to insert itself into the cutting edge of public media. So what do we do? That's the landscape, as much as we can tell. And I think that's pretty undeniable at this point. Funding should be applied to the redevelopment of Pacifica's website for the purpose of delivering programming as a network. This will prepare Pacifica for handheld and automobile-ready online streaming devices and serve as an extremely effective outreach service. The redevelopment of the site will include a department devoted to the maintenance and service of the website. We've recommended that we consider the new Pacifica website to be maintained through Pacifica Radio Archives due to the synergy of the archives' purpose and relationship to the network as a whole. And what I mean by that is all roads at Pacifica lead to the archive. It's where our content ultimately goes. It's where it can be repackaged, where it can be redistributed. It can be the center of the wheel, which is how I envision it and how I think the rest of the managers envision it right now. The result of this redevelopment project will include a Pacifica network program grid available as a real-time stream of programs taken from all five stations and Pacifica archives, available on demand, and podcast programs from all five stations and the Pacifica archives, promotions and links for all Pacifica units placed on the front page to garner financial support and to further the mission. Greater outreach at the national and international level, leading to increased funding, awareness, and fulfillment of the mission, and dramatically increased revenues due to national and international Pacifica branding and outreach and relevance. This new website will also serve as a roadmap for how to improve programming at the local station level when and where necessary. So again, we're talking about getting ready for online streaming devices, which already exist, which people are already using. And during our report last night on KPFK, we've already discussed how it's in practice now. We're talking about doing this as an organized effort at the national level. With the Pacifica brand, we can compete with the commercial media outlets. We can compete with the other large public radio outlets and all of the other sources of content around the world that will be available to our listeners through their handheld devices, through their in-car consoles very shortly. It's actually already happening. When the floodgates open very soon and people can have access to any content anytime, Pacifica can compete with that. Each station on its own will not be able to. We will be lost in the plethora of content out there. But Pacifica, with its brand, can compete and will compete. Again, this is what we're talking about in terms of getting ready for improving our delivery system of content. As far as programming goes, assessing the quality and relevance of programming through the network is necessary to increasing listenership and listener loyalty. The first step in this process is to understand the difference between content and programming. This often is confused. Programming is all-encompassing. It includes but is not limited to format and content. Programming is both how you organize content and how you present it. Content is the information and the nuances of that information within the programming. Now, content versus format. This is important. We must think about this before we apply an action. We've paraphrased the mission here. Now, the Pacifica's mission, education through the means of radio with the goal of conflict resolution, the creation of a viable outlet for genuine thinkers and artists, and a source for alternative news, is both compelling and brilliant. This is obvious. Most of the content at all six Pacifica units are perfectly in line with the mission. Let me repeat that. Most of the content at all six Pacifica units are perfectly in line with the mission, from what we can tell. We have content overload. We have so much content out there, we could program a million stations. It's not content. Bottom line, for Pacifica, content is not the major challenge. Rather, it is the format portion of programming that needs to be addressed for the purpose of increasing listenership and listener loyalty. At all five Pacifica radio stations, a quilt-type pattern of programming has been created. This method of organizing of content or formatting goes against the grain of listener behavior from what we know. Listeners themselves, focus groups, and surveys tell us that consistency is important to keeping people tuned in and coming back for more. This is because, for instance, for people listening to radio in cars, programming becomes a virtual community for the commuter while traveling. They're living with us virtually. These commuters are in need of consistent elements from hour to hour or day part to feel comfortable in their virtual community or neighborhood. Constant disruption and disturbances to the commuter's environment create distraction and discomfort and cause the listener to seek a new virtual community. Again, so what we know from surveys, from focus groups, radio's relevance, terrestrial radio, as opposed to what we're talking about with people downloading hundreds of thousands of podcasts. This is different. We're talking about radio's relevance, terrestrial radio. We know that the reason it's still relevant is that people go from home to work and from work to home. They have mundane patterns. They have patterns that they know that they could almost do in their sleep. And then they use the radio, which is at their fingertips, to virtually live in this community. They have familiar voices and familiar concepts on these radio stations, and it feels like home or a neighborhood. It's a surrogate to a companion. We've been told this over and over. This is why you have these bizarre, humorous morning shows everywhere. Those are your goofy friends that people like to live with, as an example. But it applies to what we do as well. Real debate, real dialogue, interesting people. The people who come to us want to live in this neighborhood when they're driving from home to work and from work to home. Approaching the element of consistency does not mean that the same host and the same content need to be delivered at the same time each day for each day part, in other words, strip programming. Pacifica can be revolutionary in its formatting by using the stripping model in high PUR day parts and use other techniques to ensure consistency in other day parts. Pacifica can also employ variations of formatting to create consistency, such as utilizing various thinkers, artists, activists, and community leaders to both anchor and guest appear on consistent issues throughout the day parts and for days on end, depending on the circumstances. A perfect example is when any of the five stations do special coverage of events such as elections, economic conditions, and conflicts as examples. This type of approach to consistent programming is often what Pacifica does best, but requires the network and stations to have the ability to make temporary changes to programming slots smoothly. This can be accomplished with a clear policy and a format structure that is designed for flexibility and respect. In other words, when your program director and your general manager and your program counsel or whoever you have advising you see that there is a major issue on the horizon, we should have the flexibility to cover those issues as a whole without a whole lot of belly aching and crying and everything else that comes along with, hey, we want to move you out, move this person in, or have you cover maybe this issue your way. We need cooperation, and we need to have this outlined in a policy, if it doesn't already exist, that says this is what Pacifica does. When there's breaking news, the invasion of Gaza, we should be able to, with flexibility, cover that issue, utilizing all of our resources, all of our hosts, all of our brains, all of the lists of contacts we have, and as a station, cover these issues and sound like, hey, we're in the game. We're here for you, to our listeners.